This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Garvin comes in, spins him around. He caught him! Rick it down! Rick it down! Down on the mat! Got the game! He beat him! He beat him! Garvin knocked him out! Garvin knocked Ric Flair, the world heavyweight champion, out cold! He's still down on the mat! Wrestling, welcome to episode number 32 of NWA Crock and Roll. I am your host, Sean Kidd, and we are closing out the year on this New Year's Eve with the final part of February 1986. And when we come back next month, we will start right into March of 86. But we are closing out the year on New Year's Eve with February of 86, where we'll take a look at February 15th through February the 23rd, I believe, is when our last match is on. And we're picking right up. So we've come out of Superstars on a Superstation. We've come out of Battle of the Belts 2. And we're going to go right back to start on WCW Saturday Night on 215. But before we get into that, I would like to introduce my two co-hosts tonight. Colin McDougal is still not with us tonight. Hopefully he will return when we get back in January. But first up, Dr. G, you have missed the last few episodes where we talked about Superstars on a Superstation and Battle of the Belts 2. Any context you would like to add before we jump into the rest of February? Because I know you're a big Florida guy, and I don't know if you've seen Superstars on a Superstation or not. So anything you would like to add before we jump into February?
Well, I just, you know, I want to say that this, I feel like February of 86 that we're going to get to, you know, the rest of it is a real key moment of, you know, really where Crockett starts taking off to where we saw it, you know, when we were kids. And mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, breaking all this stuff down. And first of all, I just want to say, because it's still the Christmas season, Merry Christmas to everyone. And I'll tell you, it's I can't believe that we're on episode 32. I mean, I remember when you brought this idea to us, and then, you know, we're 32 episodes into it, and we still haven't even touched the real great stuff yet.
Oh, no, we've only done 10 months. I said it on our last show. We started this, I think, in June of, 2020, and here we are at the end of 2021. And because of the great cock thing that happened in the shutdown, we've only actually covered 10 months of Crockett in that time period, which is pretty amazing. It's like we haven't even done a full year yet, Dr. G.
No, but I tell you, it's this. We're in for a great ride coming up in the next few months.
We are, and I feel like it. I think it starts here because I think we have some cool little promos that set some stuff up. I think we got a couple of good matches to talk about tonight, which I'm pretty excited about. But yeah, so welcome back. Glad to have you. Question for you, since you were a Florida guy, did you watch Battle of the Belts 2 live, or did you ever see that show?
I did. Yeah, we know. Yes, I used to plan around it, watching all those shows. Anytime we had like a big show, because my dad was a big wrestling fan too, so we would always make sure to watch those Battle of the Belt shows, because they used to broadcast it on like regular television. So it was on all, you know, all through Florida. It wasn't just, you know, like your Saturday morning where you got it at different times, or, you know, depending on where you were. It was like, it was almost kind of like it was a national show, you know. I just remember that I think that's where Florida was really trying to take it to another level. Unfortunately, those shows didn't really do it for them, but I enjoyed them anyway. I remember at the time. Obviously, you could break things down now and probably, you know, shit on some stuff, but
Well, Battle of the Belts 2 is an interesting show. I mean, probably one of my favorite matches. We had Barry Windham versus Ric Flair, which I can't wait till we get some more Windham in 86 because he's one of my all-time favorites.
Windham and Flair, yeah. that match was known at that time being one of the best matches of the 80s when, you know, back in the day. So, yeah, that's one that I think mostly anybody that was a fan at that time remembers.
Yeah, I agree. It is definitely a great match. I totally enjoyed it. So, and I love me some Barry Windham's up there with me, like on the Ron Garvin love. So I look forward to talking more about him as we move forward. Our other co-host tonight, Scott Shiflett. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. You know, happy New Year's Eve to everyone. Can't wait to end the new year with some Crockett from 86.
All right. So let's jump right into it. So we are going to February 15th. Which literally is aired the night after Battle of the Belts 2, which aired on Valentine's Day of February 14th. We're on Saturday night, and we're going to have a few quick promos here to talk about. So the first one up is Tully Blanchard and J.J. Dillon. Earlier in the evening, Jimmy Valiant had come out, and Tony kind of shit on the plan. If you remember, they talked about this whole domino effect that they were going to take out Jimmy Valiant to get the Dusty Rhodes, and they had this whole domino plan they've been talking about the last few months, but Tony shits on it and says, your domino plan did not work. Jimmy Valiant was out earlier and he looked pretty good. JJ corrects him and said Valiant had a hard time beating a jobber earlier tonight because of the beating that Tully has given his ass. And Tully could beat the jobber in 14 seconds and it took Valiant like 3.5 minutes. Tully feels pressure to get a belt. He brings up the superstars on a superstation match, and he sets up that he will win the national title within the next 4 weeks. So, Scott, I will go to you first. One, for me, I love the continuation of the domino plan and the fact that it didn't work, but they tried to play it off about why it did work. And I love the fact that he's just being bold and saying, in 4 weeks, I'm taking that belt from Dusty. What did you think?
I agree, and I love JJ giving Tony so much shit about his announcing. He's like, you're not even that great at this job. We can get someone else better than you, and yeah. I just love that. And Tully put the time limit of when, you know, he's going to take the title. Will we see him as the new champion within 4 weeks, which I think is great television because you're like, I need to see Tully lose. So, like, how is he going to do the – what's part of this plan of him taking the title in 4 weeks? I thought it was great. This is, like, peak Tully promo.
So we'll have to wait and see. Well, so 4 weeks, that would be March 15th or so. So we'll have to see if by March 15th he's won that national title or not. So we'll stay tuned to that, right? So, Dr. G, what did you think of this interview? I thought it was a nice, quick little – I thought it was pretty good.
Damn, Tully is really good, let me tell you. He's just – he's so cocky. He's like, I'm going to win the belt in 4 weeks. And, again, it makes you want to watch. Like, okay, is he going to lose? Or is he actually going to do it in 4 weeks? And I love JJ giving Tony a hard time. You know, you just, you know, JJ, I mean, I don't know, Sean, if you ever listened when he was doing a podcast, and we interviewed him on the Place to Be podcast with Justin Scott, and he could be a little long-winded when you get him like in a long conversation, but when it comes to actual interviews as a manager, I would say Cornette's probably a little better, but JJ's pretty good. JJ could talk butts into the seats.
Yep. Yeah. And I love that him and Tully are together. And again, like, I'm excited. And I was like, okay, well, I could timestamp this February 15th. All right. Let's see if in a month from now, Tully wins that national title, like he says. But again, I love the Valiant explaining. Because I wish, I mean, I think all of us on the show wish Tully had succeeded in taking him out, but unfortunately, we don't. You have a whole lot of Valiant to come over the next few years, unfortunately. So we'll go to our second interview really quick, in and out. We haven't talked about Paul Jones for a while, thank God. But here we are. Paul Jones is out with Baron Von Raschke, and he introduces Tejo Khan, his newest member for Singapore. And he says in 1985, he suffered a lot of injuries. That is not happening in 1986. He has an army of his own now with these two and a Barbarian. So basically you have Baron Von Raschke, Tejo Khan, and the Barbarian, that is Paul Jones' army. Baron babbles about some kind of master plan and said people need to quit name calling. Dr. G, what did you think about this short little interview and the introduction of Tejo Khan? I can't exactly say it sends chills down my spine.
I wrote on here on my notes, huh? Question mark. Like, what was this all like? That's your, I didn't know what it was about, and it was, and that's your army. Oh, that scares me. You know, it's like
John's here, and now it's Baron Barowski, Barbarian, and TJ Khan.
I mean, Barbarian. I mean, we thought at least, even though you know he couldn't talk, and that's why he had a manager. At least we thought maybe you know just because of his physique and the way he was that he was going to be a monster heel. But the other two, Baron Barowski, way past this time, and TJ Khan didn't really, you know, do anything for me. So,
but you know, I also thought though that if they had actually tag team Barbarian and TJ Khan together, they could have had a pretty good like Powers of Pain type tag team, like Warlord and Barbarian do later. They could have done something with that
team. Maybe like a mid card tag team. Yeah, I mean, I could kind
of make a fate like it. A Road Warriors matchup probably would have been good because they all have kind of that same vibe feel, right?
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, that's true. But like that interview to me was like. Like as I said, I just put like a question mark. Huh? What was this?
Well, I feel like anytime we have someone new introduced, I have to get them in there. That's why it's here. Because
I get it.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything. It didn't set me on fire. And you're like, oh, I can't wait to watch these guys wrestle. You know?
Can't wait to see that 4-star TJ Khan banger. That's going to be awesome. Anyway, Scott, what did you think of this little promo?
TJ Khan looked coked out of his mind. I mean, it was the 80s, you know, Jesus. But Baron, it really is great value George Steele. And, like, Baron was, like, threatening wrestlers that are supposedly talking trash about him. He's just bad. Like, Paul Jones, get off my screen. And I know we're going to have to deal with Paul Jones' army. I know you're going to make us watch that. So, yes, that's coming.
Well, what do you think I'm going to make you watch?
Paul Jones' army?
We might have some Paul Jones coming up soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. All right.
I'm putting this under obvious foreshadowing.
You know, that's what I do. That's why I drop these little nuggets here and there. You might not see him again for a few months, but, you know, at some point they'll be back. It's coming. All right, our next set of interviews is the Russians and Magnum TA. So we got two interviews here. Nikita's out looking dapper with Ivan and the six-man trophy with a message of the Road Warriors that Crusher Khrushchev is coming back, and they want them, and they have them in the cage match, six-man matches, and double chain matches. They bring up Magnum TA. They say he's not the real U.S. champ because Tully never quit at Starrcade, which, okay, I don't know if they're watching the same match we were. Says he bribed people to keep the U.S. title. Nikita is the uncrowned U.S. champ. The Kremlin has ordered Nikita not to wrestle on TV anymore until Magnum wrestles Nikita on television for the U.S. title. They take a pot shot at Dusty. And then Nikita says, TA, put your name on the contract. Then we go right to TA. From there, later on in the show, Tony tells him, no more Nikita on TV unless a match is signed. TA says maybe he should do everyone a favor and not sign the contract. Says, you can look at me and see that battles have taken a toll on me, and he's definitely looking all beat up. Says, it's not Nikita, it's the whole Russian family. He tells Nikita to look close as he won the U.S. title all by himself. Says, if Nikita was half the man he says he is, would get the job done himself. TA doesn't care. Whenever he wants a match, fine. He won't go down without a fight. Says, no commie will put him down. Really good fire from TA. It's a really quick, two quick bits that really continue to set up this U.S. title feud that we're going to see play out over the next few months. Dr. G, what did you think of these two interviews?
Good stuff. Magnum has won me over, I guess. Because you remember, I was pretty critical in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pretty fiery here. So I love this feud with the Russians. I really do. I mean, it's just a good old classic feud from the 80s that, you know, with the, you know, communist Russians and the Americans. You know, it's simple, but it's fun.
Yep. And simple. Yep. So, again, it just to think about, like, this feud will play out. Like, our best of seven series isn't even until summer, and we're in February. So, we got a long ways to go in the build of this match. So, I'll be curious to see how they keep that going over the next few months, because that's a long time to get to the summer. Scott, what did you think of these two interviews?
I love these promos, and it's smart because, like, they're like, oh, if you want to see Nikita get his ass whipped, you can't watch it on TV. You have to come to the arena. So they were, like, getting fans to come into the arena so they think they could see Nikita lose, because during that time, it wasn't TV rights deals where they were making money. It was, you know, at the house shows. So I thought that was brilliant. Nice little heel tactic. Magnum showed a lot of fire right there. Shows like how much of a badass he is, because he's not backing down from Nikita. He said, "I'll give you a shot whenever you want." Just amazing. I've heard so much about this feud. I can't wait to see it in full action. I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, I say this every time, but my heart breaks, because especially at the end of this episode, match we're talking about, my heart breaks because what could have been? Just amazing.
Yep, what could have been. So fortunately for us, we got a few months to go, or we don't have to talk about that, so we still got some months to go before we get to that. All right, our next segment with the Midnight Express. So Cornette comes out with the interview with the Midnights. The Midnight Express, obviously, are the new World Tag Team Champions. They won them on Superstars on a Superstation. Cornette has been fined $5,000 because of using his racket. Jim doesn't care. The check has already been sent by his mama. And they all make $500,000 each year, which it's a far, far cry from what he makes at this point. He says Teeny Bopper's been sending letters about the Rock and Roll Express, wondering what those but then they wonder what those boppers actually send to the Rock and Roll Express. They snuck letters out of the mailbag. One girl sent a picture, and he unrolls a picture of a less than flattering girl that he calls a big fat cow, and they all laugh. Then, this does not hold up very well, calls the nappy-headed geeky twerps, says Midnight Express are the real chance and will defend the tag team titles today against Don Kernodle and Ron Bass, who he actually puts over. But then he says, we will say hello for the Rock and Roll Express to the girls that cheer for the Midnight Express now, because they are real men. So, Scott, what did you think of this interview? This was fantastic.
Oh, my God. Cornette was on fire. And I loved how he said he has the right to bear arms for him to wield the tennis racket, and it's his own safety blanket.
Yes.
Sean, he's on another level tonight. Just how great he is. You know, him dumping on, you know, the Rock and Roll Express is great. And, like, you know, Cornette, you know, he's controversial now, but damn, you can't, like, back in the 80s was his heyday. And, you know, that's why some people are upset with him now, because some of his wrestling thoughts are there. But he was can't miss in this promo. Everything was hitting.
Yep. Dr. G, what did you think of this promo before we get into the match?
Oh my gosh. I love his promos. I mean, he was spot on here. Just like, again, you just want to beat the heck out of him. But you want, it makes you, and this is what, like Scott was saying, that was we didn't have TV rights back then. So this is the way you got people to pay to come out to the shows. And you needed somebody like that, because obviously the Midnights couldn't really talk. They weren't great talkers, so he had to have somebody, a mouthpiece for him, and that's a perfect mouthpiece. I mean, Jim Cornette is on. I mean, I really enjoyed that promo. I really did. Thank you for putting that one in.
Absolutely.
I was cracking up watching it.
All right, and that sets up our World Tag Team title match. So right out, they just won the belts, and we get our first tag team title defense. So Midnight Express versus Ron Bass, who's hanging in there, hasn't left for the WWF yet. And Don Kernodle, who is the epitome of a Dr. G good hand. So pretty decent tag team matchup here. So Jim Cornette, to what Scott said earlier, says they tried to ban his racket, but he has the right to bear arms, so he's still on fire. He said, don't get on the wrong side of the Midnight Express, because the Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup will be held in his mama's living room. Cornette on commentary says the champs start slow to feel out opponents, which I thought was great. They basically get beat up really early on. And Bass and Kernodle dominate into the commercial. It's just Jim Cornette justifies it and saying the Midnight Express is just getting warmed up. Later on, Bobby hits a beautiful leg drop on Bass, but Bass comes back pretty quickly. He has the comeback. Kernodle gets awesome on a hot tag with a neck breaker and a abdominal stretch. Drops Dennis on a back breaker and then to a Bass knee. There's long heat on Bass as the Midnights tag in and out, again showing that really good heel tag work. Cornette asks what do they got to do to beat him? Bobby misses an elbow. Bass tags Kernodle in, but Dennis hits him with a suplex and tags back to Bass. Dennis hits him with a suplex, but then Kernodle gets back to tag the Bass. All four in a ring. Bass gets an atomic drop and a claw to Dennis. So another freaking claw. We see a lot of claws the last few weeks, two episodes. Cornette hits the racket for the DQ, and then Midnight Express beat him up until the Rock and Roll Express make the save. The Rock and Roll Express then have an interview, say they appreciate Crockett finding Cornette, but no one cares about the $5,000. They want to settle it their own way. Everyone's getting together. Dusty, TA, and Noah all handle it. Dusty comes out, and they say, these guys don't mean anyone. And they offer them the famous gorilla steel cage of Betty Lou that was being used in a kinky place in San Francisco. They will put Cornette in it and take him 80 feet up in the air. Morton says Cornette belongs to the Rock and Roll Express, and they are going to come down hard. So I actually went 2.25 stars on the match, but the after interview, bring it back to Betty Lou the cage, and then you know, Morton's innuendo at the end, and some nasty things going on. This whole thing was just fantastic. 2.25 for me. Dr. G, what did you think of this whole thing?
I have to say I gave it 2.5. I enjoyed it. For a TV match.
Yeah.
I thought they did a really, really nice job with it, you know, as much as they could do. But the commentary with Cornette, even the interview at the end, as goofy as it was with the cage, you know, it just kind of brought my, I'm like, well, they're bringing that back again, huh? You know, they're mentioning about Betty Lou. I mean, it's just very entertaining. I mean, and you have to laugh, and it kind of brings back, you know, because I remember watching this the first time now when, you know, bring it back. But just Jim Cornette, I just remember even as a kid, like, oh, my gosh, you just wanted to jump to the screen and just, you know, hit him with the tennis racket, you know. But again, that's why he was doing his job. So good stuff. So I say 2.5. I thought Bass and Cornette did a pretty good job with the Midnights. The Midnights are just a great, they just work very well together, Condrey and Eaton. They really do. Yep. And, you know, I just thought it was funny how they were getting beat up, and, you know, before they went to commercial, and, you know, Cornette's trying to, like, you know, sell it like, oh, this is just our warm up, you know.
Yeah, it was all around just good shit. Cornette is just already, he's the highlight of this episode.
I think Cornette kind of probably made the match more entertaining for me. I'm not going to lie, but.
Yeah, because his commentary was on point and great.
That's but, awesome. Yeah, 2.5. I don't think that's any, it wasn't anything offensive. It wasn't like a, you know, spectacular match, but it was a good match for TV.
All right. Excellent. Scott, what did you think?
I'm the low man. I want 1.5 stars. I was not feeling this match at all. I think it was just too much.
I can't figure out your rating system, man. You're all over the board.
I know. It makes no sense. I just wasn't feeling it. Like, I love the Midnight Express, but I just felt that Cornette and Bass got too much offense in. And, you know, I just didn't like it. You know, I love Cornette getting the racket, but, and then Rock and Roll runs in. But, you know, I think it would have been better if Midnight Express just squashed them, which is what I was hoping for. But, yeah, I will say the Betty Lou Sex Dungeon promo afterwards was great.
Yeah, that was really good. And then we got one final interview to close it out. Cornette, again, he goes ballistic at the cage. He pulls Tony over to Betty Lou, screams, who ideas this? As Tony laughs at him, which makes Cornette even angrier. Tony says, it's a cage, Jim. Tony pokes the bear and saying, you'll be 80 feet in the air. Cornette is scared of heights. I'm not an animal. He calls Dusty a big idiot, a goofer, plumber's son. He's trash. The Rock and Roll Express are trash. And they want to kill him. The lawyers will hear about this. And then he hits the cage and then he leaves. So, Real quick, Scott, anything on that final appearance on Cornette and his reaction to Betty Lou?
Just as me and Dr. G was saying, Cornette's just on fire. He's like, Eric, I hate heights. And then it's funny because of the podcast, we learned that Cornette hates flying. And it's just like another thing. He was probably shitting his pants up when he was up in that shark cage.
All right. And Dr. G, anything else to add to that final interview with Cornette?
Just again, good stuff. A little spoiled brat getting upset. He's just so funny. And then of course, now that we know more about him over the years, like you said, scared of flying, scared of heights, it's even funnier because he's, you know, how much of it was, you know, maybe somewhat of it was real just because that's how he felt, you know, like, I don't want to be up there in that cage.
Yep. So yeah. So overall, this whole segment of Cornette, the match and this whole feud setup is really, really good. So, really check this out. This again from the 2:15 Saturday night show. So now, guys, we get to close out 2:15 with two. Yes, I said two matches of our habitual favorite part of our Crockett area is Arn Anderson. And we have two title TV defenses. One is coming up here on the Saturday night show, and we'll close out the 15th with one from Worldwide Wrestling, which is pretty amazing. So this one is against Sam Houston. It is Arn versus Sam Houston. Houston yes, is the Mid-Atlantic champion, and Arn's defending the TV title against him, and this is champion versus champion, which is cool. And it's kind of cool. We got two title matches on the same show, so I thought that was pretty neat. So there's a Savage shoulder block on Linky Houston and a punch. Arn's talking mad smack, which pisses Houston off, and Houston says he will beat his butt, and the crowd is hot for Houston. Houston does a nice flip over Arn's head into an arm drag. Sam now is talking shit, and Sam does a cartwheel dropkick, which was pretty funny. Arn's working the arm, which I thought was a great throwback to their feud where he broke Sam Houston's arm. Long arm work slows the match down a bit, but I love Sam trying to keep escaping. There's a nice Savage Atomic drop by Anderson on a Houston rally. Houston misses a crossbody and collides on a nice visual into the ropes, which it looked like he literally slingshotted off the ropes. There was an awesome drop on a knee for three, and the match is over. So Arn Anderson retains the TV title. This was a nice little about 13-minute main event. I actually went 2.5 stars on it. I always enjoy Arn Anderson, and again, Sam Houston's a good hand. And, you know, when you got Arn in with a good hand, it's always a good match for me. So I went 2.5. Dr. G, what did you think?
I'm agree. 2.5 stars. You know me. I love me some Arn. Anytime I get Arn. And, you know, Houston could go in the ring. It was just the character, whatever you want to call it. I know we use that word character a lot because of the way wrestling is now. But, you know, the persona, I guess he's trying to – wasn't there. You know, like the charisma. I just couldn't – not feeling him. But in the ring, I would say I don't think we've seen a bad match in all the matches that we've had with him.
But Sam Houston? Are you talking about Sam Houston?
Yeah.
I don't recall us ever watching a bad Sam Houston match. At minimal, he's always been 2.25, 2.5 minimum.
Right, but I'm saying, like, but we haven't seen anything. Yeah, like, that was really awful. Yeah. So now you put him in there with Arn. I love Arn's just – I've gained more and more respect for him since we've been doing this podcast than ever. I mean, I always loved Arn because he was in the Horseman and everything, but now really breaking down his work now, I realize that it's a shame that he wasn't world champion at least once.
Yep, I agree. I agree 100%. Scott, what did you think of this match?
This was great. Like, you guys talked about Sam Houston, and we really get to see how good he is. Like, we've seen it in the past, but we really see it this episode. I loved how they're working on the arm that they broke. They brought it up on commentary, adds another layer to it. It, you know, I know we call Pac the bastard now, but Arn is just such a bastard working that arm that they broke, which was a hot angle too when they broke it. And like, Arn did a good job of making Sam look like a legit contender. Like, I was starting to get a little nervous that like Sam might upset him and take the TV title. That's how good it was. I went 3 stars on this. I thought it was wonderful.
And that's okay. I'm good with that. So yeah, that's fine. So yeah. So Arn Anderson defends the TV title. Another really solid match between him and Houston continues to impress. So now that closes out the Saturday Night Show for 215. Now we're going to go to Worldwide Wrestling from the same weekend. And it's another TV title match. And it's another champion versus champion match. Arn Anderson, the World TV champion, is defending against the junior heavyweight champion, Denny Brown. And this is actually the first of two Denny Brown matches versus Arn Anderson for the TV title that we'll see on this show tonight. So, G, I think we talked about it on our last show. You weren't on, but Denny Brown, and I know we talked about it on the Twitch feed a little bit for this the current NWA. Denny Brown is becoming one of those, you know, he always seems to lose. He is a current champion, but I was actually impressed how he went in the ring with the Great Muta on Battle of the Belts 2, and he's a pretty damn good hand. So I'll ask you about him. I'll talk about the match, and then I'll get your thoughts on Denny Brown. So, again, another champion versus champion match for Arn. And again, two title defenses for Arn in the same weekend. So he does what he says he's going to do. He said he would be a fighting champion. He went behind the belt like Dusty did, and he's true to his word. The commentary is still selling Dusty coming after Arn, because Dusty, remember the whole "you're next" thing for Baby Doll. And crowd is chanting for Dusty. Brown controls early with drop kicks, arm drags, and knees, and works the arm. Arn throws Brown to the concrete by the tights out of the ring. He hurts his leg, and then Arn works the leg a little bit. Arn with a half crab as Dusty comes out, and they stop the match. Arn wins. Arn charges at Dusty. He rolls Denny out of the ring, and he get an elbow and a figure four. Crowd goes nuts as Tully is in to attack Dusty. Dusty and Tully fighting on the concrete as David Crockett absolutely loses his shit. Arn and Tully beat up Dusty until TA makes a save. Really good shit. Match was a little basic, but I thought it was still great storytelling. There's more story than match this one. I still went 2.25 on it because it was a really great match with a hot ending that continues the feud between the Horsemen, Dusty, and TA. So I will go to you first, Dr. G. First, your thoughts on Denny Brown in there and your thoughts on the match and the end of this.
Well, Denny Brown, he wrestled down in Florida. He usually was like in the first, like, you know, first 2 or 3 matches, you know, at the house shows. And mm-hmm. he always put on a great show. And the fans loved him down there. Like, he would get pops, you know, like, and everybody wanted to see him win, you know, but he put over, you know, maybe the more upper mid card or, you know, the stars in Florida at the time. So I really enjoyed his work. And I actually got to, you know, many, I've said it on the program before, my friend's father was a wrestler. He went by Big Daddy down in Florida. And I got to meet all the wrestlers all the time. And Denny Brown was one of them. And I remember, you know, him showing me some of the moves, which is really weird at that time, because usually they kind of, you know, stayed with the kayfabe, but, you know, trying to show me how, you know, how to do an arm bar and all the, you know, the hip toss and all that kind of stuff. I remember. And he used to hang out a lot with the Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo. They were all really good friends. So, you know, can't beat that, the two other great wrestlers. Denny, you're never going to get a bad match when he wrestles. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to get anything that's like offensive when it comes to him. In regards to this match, I put myself in a lot of holes here tonight because I'm doing a lot of 2.5 stars, but I gave this one 2.5 stars.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I just love watch again. Denny Brown, just great in the ring. I mean, not great in the ring, good in the ring. But Arn, just watching his psychology and just the way how he breaks down a match, and obviously the heels usually lead the match, and he just does such a great job in leading his opponent. And you know, on paper you'd probably be like, "Oh, this is going to be like some kind of squash match," but it actually was entertaining.
Yeah, and again, we'll have another Arn versus Denny match coming up a little bit later on the 22nd. But yeah. And what did you think about the end thing with Dusty and Magnum and Tully and Arn and Dusty getting the shit beat out of him? What did you think of that?
I mean, obviously, again, that's the stuff, again, to put the butts in the seats and get everybody, okay, now we want to see Dusty get his revenge. So, again, doesn't it always seem like Dusty's getting the shit kicked out of him at some point? And he just keeps coming back, you know?
Yes.
But he gets his revenge in the end. So, you know, he's the booker, so he knows what he's doing.
All right, Scott, what do you think?
I really enjoyed this match. I will say that I didn't realize this, but Denny Brown looks like Marty Jannetty, so I was calling him Denny Jannetty.
I think he looks like Marty Jannetty that hit the buffet.
Yes. I will say I just enjoyed it. Arn's so great. And him attacking that leg was just amazing. And Denny was just selling it like death. And I love, like, Dusty comes in and tells the ref to end it. Like, you know, that pushes along, like, the Arn and Dusty thing going on. Then Tully runs in and attacks Dusty as well. Then Magnum comes down. It's just – crowd's just losing their mind. And they're setting the stage for something that's going to come in the summer. But God, like, the Horsemen are such vile assholes, and Dusty's, like, you know, the White Knight, just killing it.
So a pretty good addition of a pretty good weekend there for the 15th. You got the World Tag Team title match with the Midnight Express with some great Cornette promo work. You got the TV title match with Arn versus Denny, and you got the other TV title match with Arn versus Sam Houston. So pretty decent. I mean, you chalk those matches up with the Battle of the Belts on top of Superstars on the Superstation. That's a pretty good run up into the 15th of February, which is going to continue as now we're going to go to February 22nd. So we are actually going to start on Mid-Atlantic TV, and it's another Midnight Express tag team title match, and they are defending against Sam Houston and Shaska Watley. And again, Houston, the Mid-Atlantic champion, getting another title shot. He got a TV title shot on what we just talked about. Now he's getting a World Tag Team title shot at Mid-Atlantic, so a lot of title shots for Sam Houston. So again, Bobby, we talked about on our last podcast about the Midnight Express gear. Bobby's got weird gear. It almost looks like he borrowed the Jerry Lawler tights that have the straps
it's
on it.
It's so bad. Yeah, it is so yeah. bad. It's like again, bad. Like what was that? Jazzercise. That was big in the 80s, right? It looked like bad yeah. Jazzercise gear.
Like, I've never seen Bobby Eaton in that gear whatsoever, so it was really weird. The Midnight Express, they come out, and the crowd is hot as always as the faces take control with back-and-forth arm work on both Express. Let's see. Watley hits a flying head scissors on Bobby, and then the faces have some nice quick tags. Again, a long arm work on Eaton. Houston hits a nice suplex on Condry while Jim calls him skinny little punk. Watley hits a nice suplex on a block to Eaton. Sam does a great monkey flip to Eaton. Every time the heels get the upper hand, the faces reverse it. Sam throws Eaton upside down into a corner, and crowd is absolutely losing it. Sam throws Bobby off the top rope. He got a bulldog to cover, but the ref is distracted by Watley attacking Cornette. There's a brutal clothesline by Dennis, and then Eaton pins Houston. I don't care what anyone says. I thought this was fucking great. Houston and Watley brought the goods, and the Express again brought the freaking great tag team dynamic. I went 3 stars on this for a random tag team title match on a Mid-Atlantic TV. Holy shit. This was great for me. I went 3 stars. Scott, what'd you think of this?
Sean, this is going to shock you. I went 3.25.
That doesn't shock me because it's a good match.
Well, I know, but I cracked on the one from earlier. But like the way this was going, Cornette was great in this role. Like he was shouting instructions when it seemed like the Midnight Express were going to lose. I was getting I was starting to feel like it was 1-2-3 Kid versus Razor Ramon. Like that's the vibes I was getting with the way they were treating Sam Houston, who is just phenomenal. And you could see Cornette, the longer the match goes, the more scared he gets because they weren't taking this match serious at first, but Pez and Sam Houston came to wrestle and I just loved it. And and Houston actually got a visual pin. And it was just a great match. Sam Houston, maybe he would have filled out, maybe took some steroids, I guess, because it was the 80s. He could have been a bigger star than he was because, like you guys said, we haven't seen a bad match from him.
Yep. Dr. G, what'd you think of this one?
I did the same thing you did, Sean. I went 3 stars on this. Obviously we knew they weren't going to win the titles, but there were times where you felt like it was. I guess if you're watching it for the first time, you're like, wow, could we have an upset here? But the Midnights are they are definitely one of the best teams of the 80s. There's no doubt about it. They could go with anyone. And Watley and Houston, they kind of shocked you. I mean, obviously they're both good wrestlers in their own right. But as a tag team, they were actually pretty decent. They actually worked very well together, especially against a seasoned team like the Midnight Express.
Yep. So, yeah, two good matches in the Midnight Express over this episode so far.
Definitely. They definitely deserve the 3 stars. And I, Scott, you going 3.25 stars. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, because I did enjoy the match.
Yeah,
the worldwide matches are good.
And Sam Houston keeps bringing the goods too, man. I mean, it's crazy. So, yeah, so really good match here. So with that, we're going to shift over to Worldwide Wrestling. And we have a big-time main event over here. And I remember watching this match on YouTube many, many years ago. But it is Ronnie Garvin and Dusty Rhodes versus Ric Flair and Arn Anderson. And this is a main event on Worldwide. You have the number one contender to the world title, and you have Dusty, who obviously is feuding with Arn. So this is a big-time feel. Garvin and Rhodes go by the name the Risky Business Boys. And again, a big-time main event. Flair and Garvin immediately go to Chop City. The crowd, as well as David Crockett, is absolutely nuclear. Like, you can hardly hear anything during the whole, match. This match is just so insane from the crowd. Dusty has dueling punches and big elbows to Arn and Flair. And they just dance. And again, he just dances around Flair. And they just continue to double-team Flair and Arn. And then they double-team Garvin. But Garvin does a backdrop to Flair, and Dusty rats Flair leg around a ring post from outside. Arn works Ron Garvin with a body scissors. The fans chant Dusty as Ron escapes and tags Dusty. There's a running clothesline to Flair, a figure four. Arn comes in and breaks it up. Tommy pushes him back, but Ron runs in, grabs Flair, does the hands of stone knockout punch, and Dusty pins Flair for the 3. Everybody absolutely loses their minds. guys, this match was only 8 minutes, but this was 100% just a freaking fun match. Nuclear crowd, great commentary. The wrestlers were feeling it. The only downside I have in this is Garvin should have got the Flair, the pin on Flair, not Dusty. And this is, again, probably Dusty wanting to make sure he's the top face, because Garvin, who's in a feud with Flair, should have got the pin on this. I did go 3.25. You're going to be hard-pressed to find another match for 8 minutes that is, has this kind of heat. And just this was just all good. Dr. G, what did you think of this match?
I'm going to go 3.5 on this one. Okay. I agree with you. For that short period of time, that crowd on Worldwide, when you get a good match on World, that crowd is so loud. I mean, they really, really, they did that. Where did they film that? Is that in Greensboro?
I'm not 100%. I mean, they film them in different arenas, just like they do.
Right. Those. I mean, sometimes I know it seemed like the same, they use like the same few or whatever, but whatever arena it is, they were hot. And, you know, I agree with you. It was funny because I did write that. I'm like, how come Garvin didn't get the pin? But we know why. I mean, Dusty was the booker, but but other than that, I'm not going to get too crazy about it. I just thought the crowd was electric. The announcing was really good. Just the whole thing. I mean, you know, for a look at the guys you have in that match on a TV main event. I mean, they did a really good job of sometimes putting some good TV main events on.
I mean, that's an arena main event. Like these are their top four guys who are in feuds. This, you would never get something like this on free TV at WWF at the time, ever.
No. And this was better even than the Saturday night shows, which is national. Mm-hmm. Like you wouldn't even get, you know, occasionally you'd get a really good match like that, but they seem to do it a lot on Worldwide. So, I mean, this one I had to go 3.5 on.
Yeah, 86, 87 Worldwide has some of the best bangers we're going to see. So it's going to be exciting as we move forward. We're definitely going to have a lot of Worldwide stuff that I'll pick from. But, you're right. Most of the great main event matches happen on Worldwide for sure. Scott, what did you think of this?
Oh, Mike, I loved it. I'm starting off 4 stars. I went four stars.
Okay.
I loved it. I love, like, Flair and Garvin started beating the piss out of each other. And Flair did the Flair flop before he could tag Arn. And, like, you know, then Dusty comes in and, like, you know, just runs over them. I couldn't get enough. The crowd was just electric. Like, this is, like, the crowd you hear about, like, you know, when Flair did those WWE documentaries where he was talking about, it was Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen one where they said, like, if Crockett just stayed in, like, you know, where the Mid-Atlantic and didn't cross the Mississippi, they'd still be in business today. I truly believe it. Just these crowd was amazing. And like, you know, Dusty getting the win was whatever, but you know, that's what he has to do. But you know, this shows that Garvin has Flair's number pretty consistently.
Yep. And again, two hot matches to start another weekend of NWA, which is fantastic. So now we're going to shift over to the Saturday night show on the 22nd, and we're going to start with Ric Flair, which is a pretty pivotal moment in history here. We did talk a little bit about, the big gold belt appearing at Battle of the Belts on the 14th, but this is the first time we've seen it on a proper NWA show. So Flair's here. There's a big blue bag laying flat on the desk next to Tony. Flair is in a nice striped suit, calls himself the best looking man on the planet with his lizard shoes that are $700. He is pure class. Ric Flair grabs a bag, says Crockett's go deep pockets to show their appreciation for a real world champion. Said you heard about it, but now you see it. And he pulls out for the first time on NWA national television the $40,000 gold belt with diamonds and rubies. It's solid gold, owned by the world champ. If you like it or not, he's the champion. He calls out all the faces, including Tommy Rich and Bob Armstrong. Compares himself to Superman, but he doesn't need a plane boot to go into action. He is the best there is. So really nice short promo. And guys, a sweet Charlotte is officially retired. And the dawn of the big gold belt that everybody knows and loves, it kind of kicks off 1986. Like when I think about that big gold belt, I do think about 1986 because that's where things got really good. So Dr. G, I'll go to you first. What did you think about Flair and the revealing of the big gold belt here?
I agree with you on that one. Wow. I remember that. I loved that belt. Now I today I love Sweet Charlotte because it's nostalgic. But at that time, you know, just like anything else, you kind of get bored of this, that belt, and that belt looked like a world heavyweight championship. I mean, not that the Sweet Charlotte doesn't, but this one was just, this was Ric Flair, you know, the gold, the diamonds, the rubies. That's what it was all about. I mean, like I've said on other podcasts, I used to, you know, at that time, you remember we couldn't get belts. I used to make my own out of paper, the big gold belt. That was the belt that I made. Yeah, I don't know if you ever did that, Sean, when you
would. I did, and I would actually make a big gold belt for my wrestlers that I had in my wrestling ring, the toy wrestling ring, too. So,
yep, yeah. Exactly. I mean, that stuff was, that was so cool when you put this on here because it just really brought back a lot of memories. And I just love that belt to death. And you know, I think it's apropos that Ric Flair was the one to wear it the first time. I mean,
yeah.
Who else could you have? So I definitely, definitely enjoyed that promo. It's vintage Ric Flair. There's nothing bad you could say about it. That's for sure. I mean, it's typical good Ric Flair, just a great promo as usual.
Yes, sir. Scott, what'd you think of the Flair and the revealing of the big gold belt?
That's like how you guys mentioned. That's my world title as well. It's what I think of when I think of WCW as the big gold belt. It looked amazing. You know, part of me wants to buy one of those replica ones, but I think I may get murdered if that happens. But, you know, and he says to be the man, you got to beat the man. And like his suit was amazing. He looked like a champion. And this is what the Ric Flair you think of in the 80s. And this is it right here. And it was straight and to the point.
Amen. So we have a brand new second debut of this episode. Our first big reveal was Tejo Khan. But now, guys, we finally have the debut of Jimmy Garvin and Precious. And Garvin is out with Precious in an empty arena. She is just basically spraying her stuff all over the place. They're both dressed in matching sequins. Garvin says, don't touch this dial. This is the right place. The NWA said, and he's in the NWA, they said they arrived in a limo, and a bunch of heathens yelled and screamed at them, says, it happens all the time. It's not his fault. He's the greatest wrestler in the world. He doesn't do any red meat, doesn't do salt or sugar, and his hair is insured by Lloyd's of London. They aren't the same as everyone else. They don't want to wrestle on TV because no one can beat him. I can strut all over the country. He calls out, calls Magnum TA, Maggot TA, calls out Dusty Rhodes, and basically calls Dusty fat and diabetic. He says he's going to teach them some manners. He has a dry mouth and goes in to kiss Precious. She takes care of him. It's time to go, insinuating that they're going to go have sexual relations. And Scott, I'll go to you first. What did you think of the debut of Jimmy Garvin and Precious in this little promo?
So this is the first I've seen of Jimmy Garvin besides him in the Fabulous Freebirds in the early 90s. So I was excited. I said Jimmy Jam debut because I'd heard so much about him and Precious, and I thought they were pretty good together. You know, the Lloyd's of London thing was great. The saying that he did this he was doing this interview because he didn't want the fans to see him. That's why, like, he made them all leave. I thought it was just great. And he basically tells who he's coming for. He's coming for Maggot TA and, you know, Diabetes Dusty. So, like, that's where we're at right now. I mean, it seems that we'll see what happens if he gets a good if the push continues. But I do have a question you guys will be able to answer. Are they brothers? Jimmy Garvin.
No, father and stepson.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Ron Garvin is his stepfather.
Okay. How old are they?
They portray them as brothers in the NWA, but they are actually stepbrother, stepfather.
Okay. Wow.
Yep. Stepson. Sorry. He's a stepson. But yeah, so, and by the way, just because Colin's not on here, sneak peek under the tent as we head into March. Garvin's first big feud is going to be with Wahoo McDaniel, so we have that to look forward to. So, spoiler.
Yes.
Ooh. Spoiler alert. Dr. G, what did you think of the debut of Jimmy Garvin here?
A great first promo, kind of interesting. Agreed. You know, like Scott said, you kind of give an idea of what kind of character he is, but then also who he's coming after. That's just perfect booking. Jimmy Garvin was great. It's so funny, you know, the things that he's saying now. And now if you look at him now, you're like, that's Jimmy Garvin. It's like, he's like, he's kind of like Dusty Rhodes size now and bald. And
I remember when him and the Freebirds got inducted into the Hall of Fame. Like, he's totally unrecognizable.
Exactly. No, as a matter of fact, we went to one of the conventions one time where we stood overnight. Maybe it was like 6-7 years ago. And he was sitting at a table with like Jimmy Hart, a couple of the other guys. And somebody pointed out to me, because I hadn't seen Jimmy Garvin in ages. And somebody said, that's Jimmy Garvin. I'm like, what? That doesn't look like, that's not Jimmy Garvin. I had to go like look it up on my phone. I'm like, that is Jimmy Garvin. Oh my gosh. It's like, he's so unrecognizable that it's not even like it's the same person.
Yep.
But I'm
not with you. What you were saying, I thought this is a really fun, like Jimmy Garvin, like towards the end there was really painful to watch in the Freebirds. But I thought this is a really fantastic promo introduction he did. I thought they were a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really was. And like, you know, they didn't really do like vignettes like we've seen WWF do introducing the character. So this is how they did it. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. G, anything else to add on Garvin?
No, I'm just looking forward to seeing him in some of the future feuds coming up. But I tell you, Jimmy Garvin is I would say in some ways is underrated. He actually was a pretty good heel.
Yeah, when we get to 87, big feud with Flair coming up. That sets up some big stuff. But in the meantime, what we do have to look forward to is some Indian strap matches between Garvin and Wahoo. I'm sure that'll go over well with Colm. I'm sure he'll skip out our next episode too if we have to deal with that. But yeah, so really fun start here. Really good intro to Garvin. I did love the Maggot TA comment, by the way. I thought that was pretty funny as well. All right, so we have another match here tonight on Saturday night, and is the second TV title defense of Arn Anderson against Denny Brown for the TV title, and Arn's third title defense in the matter of a week. So Arn, a true fighting champion. So Flair is on commentary, and he starts talking about a girl who's in Minnesota that he's going to show his muscles to later. He talks about the Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup event and says he will take Arn as his partner, and there'll be money in the bank. He puts over Denny and Arn both as great athletes. Flair kind of shits on Dusty as TV champion, again says he never defended, which he wasn't wrong. He says Arn has made the TV belt second most prestigious title. Flair is really good at putting Denny over here as a junior champ. I'd like the chain wrestling to start. Flair says he loves Cornette and Midnight Express, but if he and Arn are going into the cup, they are winning it. Denny works over Arn a while. Flair keeps talking teams. He can't remember Gibson's name, which I thought was funny. He talked about the Rock and Roll Express. He couldn't remember Robert Gibson's name, which was really great. He announces they announced that next week the site of the cup will be announced. Arn keeps trying to reverse the arm work, but Denny continues to hold on. Dusty comes to ringside to cheer Denny on. Arn takes control of forearms and kicks to the midsection and body scissors. Drops his midsection on the top rope. Then he like rakes his face across the ropes as well. There's good fight from Denny. Denny's continuously trying to fight out of it. Arn grabs by the trunks, and Denny goes outside of the floor. There's a sunset flip stop by an Arn punch. Denny does a backdrop forearm off the ropes, and then Brown throws Arn into the ropes and ducks for another backdrop. Arn grabs his head at his head as he comes off the ropes and gets a gourd buster for three, which looked really good. Dusty's in the ring, and TA, they have a standoff with the Horsemen outside. Flair sits on the both, and he's decked out, and Arn just wrestled. This is a fair. Arn puts over Rick as his family and says he does what Dusty did. He's a great defending TV champion every week, and he wants to hear no one. He doesn't want to hear anyone's garbage. Flair says both of them were world champ. Then he brings up Garvin and then goes to a video of a 60-minute draw where Flair goes back in the ring. They fight some more, and Flair says this is all propaganda. Garvin gets the hands of Stone and cover, and the ref counts three. Arn screams it was a closed fist. It's illegal. Why Crockett is totally instigating this. Flair is tired of everyone trying to insult him. Says Garvin keeps messing with him. He'll end up like Dusty. Tells David to seriously pass that along. Like Flair, just red hot fire from Arn and Flair. So first off, the match. I really enjoyed the match. I think it was another 2.5-star affair. I liked it better than the other Denny Brown match we watched earlier. But yeah, that whole ending sequence, again, with the Horsemen, Dusty, and TA is just... this is freaking awesome. And then that final little promo. Scott, I'll go to you first. What'd you think of this whole thing?
Match I went 3 stars. The Gourd Buster was just awesome. That was an awesome finish. I had to rewind it to watch it again because it's just he just drops him right on his face. You know, Denny and Arn, like Arn's just like this just proves how good Arn is. Arn can make anyone look legit. And I love Dusty coming out because Flair was out there too. So there was a nice little psychological warfare there going. Also, Flair was shitting on the frat boys that were there that were screaming at chanting at Flair. And he was calling them the sorority girls that are there, which I thought was funny with their sorority shirts, which I quite enjoyed. And like the Flair and Arn promo was just great. Arn was saying how he's a real champion because unlike Dusty, he defends his title, something he didn't do. And then like I love Flair's like, don't you ever show that propaganda, like you said. Just so amazing. I can't get enough of it. The horsemen are great.
Yes, they are. Dr. G, what did you think of this match and then the promo at the end with Flair and Arn?
I went 2.75 stars on it. I thought it was better than the first one, a little better than the first one. And again, just it seemed like a hot crowd. And that Gourd Buster, like Scott was saying, wow. I mean, he really did that move. For now, this is one of his best ones that we've seen. And, you know, the interview with I did write about the sorority girl. I thought that was pretty funny by Ric Flair.
Stuff.
He's so on because he's just like, you know, obviously nothing's scripted. And then, you know, he just comes up with that like right off the bat, just quick witted and gets it out there. And that's what just makes these guys so great back then. And that's why I think the promos were just so much more believable back then than today.
I agree. So good stuff. So we're going to end the Saturday night show on the 22nd with T.A. showing up again. So T.A.'s in a match. He beats a jobber. And there's a belly-to-belly. Says he looks at Nikita and says, this is you at ringside, because Nikita's at ringside. Nikita goes to the ring as T.A. challenges him as Ivan, and Ivan tries to hold him back. T.A. comes off the apron with an axe handle on Nikita, and then they fall and brawl on the floor. Locker room empties out and pulls them apart. Easy, simple chaos. This feud is hot, and they continue to do little things to build this match. So, Dr. G, what did you think of this kind of ending the show for us on the 15th or the 22nd? Sorry.
No, a nice way to end off a show to make you want to come back the next week. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they seem to do that a lot on the Saturday night show, wouldn't you say? Where it's like, okay, they got to keep kind of leave you hanging a little bit. Like, okay, well, I can't wait to come back next week, see how this feud's going to play out.
Yep, I agree. And this was only like 3 or 4 minutes to end the show with the match and the brawl after. Scott, what'd you think of this final brawl between T.A. and Nikita?
I loved it. And Nikita was looking, he was looking like a stud out there. Like, you know, he's dressed, has like the sunglasses on and a polo, you know, not usually wearing like, you know, the his Russian singlet. So it was a nice little change of pace for him. And I love that the wrestlers came and break him up. Like, I love when that happens in WWE. So I love this. And like, you saw like top stars coming out to break him up. Like Dusty gets in the middle of him and like, they still can't break him up. And like, they get away and Magnum comes and jumps on him. It's really making me want to see what eventually happens to these guys, because it has been, and they've put like you said, with breadcrumbs with the podcast, they've been putting the breadcrumbs here, shouting out there, but now we're rounding first base because, you know, Magnum's had enough of Nikita shit.
Yep. So that ends the 22nd. So to end the month of February, guys, we have one more match. So we've had 7 matches in talking about just the last 2 weeks, which is pretty freaking amazing. And when you put that on top of Battle of the Belts and Superstars on the Superstation, the month of February, when it came to matches, was freaking hot. But this one comes from us from Charlotte, North Carolina. It is Magnum T.A., who is your U.S. champion, versus Ric Flair for the world title. And this is cool find on YouTube. One of the things that I heard, so I listened to, what was it, Shivani on Shivani's pod. He talks about how Japan would tape some arena matches and they would show these matches over in Japan. This is one of the matches they did from a house show in Charlotte, which I think was great. So it's obviously the commentary is in Japanese, but we'll talk about the match. And then this is probably like our 5th or 6th Magnum TA match we've talked about with Ric Flair. So we'll see how it plays out. The TA does an interview. It's translated to Japanese with Born to Be Wild in the background. Flair is already out on the apron in his favorite green robe that we see him in quite a bit. TA dominates early with a cool armbar with knee on Flair's face as he leaned back, which I thought looked really good. Flair gets short heat and ends with a TA press slam. Tommy Young gets in the way as always, breaking things up. Flair tosses TA outside. Flair takes control with knees, punches, suplex, goes after TA's leg. There's a knee drop to the ankle at a figure four, and he's using the ropes for leverage. Tommy Young is an absolute dope as he doesn't even pay attention. TA almost reverses, but Flair grabs the rope and pull it back down. Young finally sees it, breaks it up. There's a botchy-looking small package by TA on another figure four attempt. TA is thrown outside again. There's a punch and a chop-off. Flair is ran into the turnbuckle on a sleeper, and then TA dominates Flair up and over turnbuckle to the outside. TA throws Flair to the ring post, and TA continues to kick Flair's ass with punches. Flair is tossed off the top rope. Magnum gets a figure four. Flair is bleeding. And then he's just rapid-fire punches to Flair's head. And then he's punted over the top rope and suplexed back into the ring with a TA sleeper. There's a belly-to-belly, but oh, look, Young gets his leg clipped, and he's down, and he's selling it like he's been murdered. There's another TA sleeper, but Flair rope crotches him. Another ref comes in, and Flair covers, and three count, even though TA's foot's on the ropes. So really good match, another solid match between TA and Flair. Also continues to emphasize what a terrible referee, five-time referee of the year Tommy Young is, and I can't stand him because he ruins these matches for me sometimes, but a really good match. I went 3.25. Dr. G, what did you think about the match?
I went 3 stars on this. I enjoyed it. It wasn't one of their best ones I've seen, but I definitely enjoyed it. And you're right. Sometimes Tommy Young just kind of gets in the way. Like, it's almost like he's trying to become
the star. I don't know if it's sometimes. I think it's all the time.
But and it's funny because if you ask most of those guys from that era, that was their favorite referee.
I know. No, he's not. But we have on the last few episodes. I know you weren't on. We all of us have a consensus that Tommy Young is a very annoying referee, and we aren't big fans of his. But go on.
Yeah, I think that was just his gimmick, if you want to call it that. But this match, I mean, a little more faster paced than some of the matches we've seen of them. But I thought it was well done. I think it's one of those things. With Flair and TA, I think over time they've just gained better chemistry with each other. Mm-hmm. And it's showing the improvement that Magnum is making. And you could tell, again, they were building, and it's, again, like Scott said, it's just a damn shame, but they definitely were building on making him the world champion. Flair definitely was helping TA and giving him the rub, and they knew that this was going to be maybe their meal ticket, in the next few years for the NWA with TA being at the top, or at least being, 1-2 with Flair.
Okay, so 3 stars. I went 3.25. Scott, what'd you think?
I went 3.25. Like, I couldn't even take notes because I was just so enthralled with the match. Like, I know you guys, when you first started, y'all were down on Magnum, but, like, that's when I was listening to the pod. But seeing him, like, develop into such a better wrestler, and, like, his promos are on point. And it's just, this was just a fun match. And, like, not every match needs to be, like, 40-plus minutes. This was 20 minutes, and they were straight to the point. It was awesome. And the Flair, knocks Magnum's foot off the rope, and that's how he gets the win. Just amazing. And, yes, Tommy Young sucks. So he can just back away. I know everyone loved him, but we're not there to see you, Tommy. We're there to see Magnum and Rick.
That's right. So that closes out February. So really hot month of February. Like I said, we had the 2 super shows, and now we just talked about this. We had 7 good matches in this, some really good promos. So with that, we're going to do our awards to close it out. So our first award, and again, we're just doing this for what we talked about tonight. So February 15th through the 23rd. Of February. The David Crockett Award, the best overall moment of the shows and your favorite thing. I will go to Scott first.
My David Crockett Award. I think I'm going to go with that Nikita Magnum brawl at the end of the 222 show. I loved it.
Okay. Dr. G?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Scott on that one. I thought that was a really, really fun. Brought in again, setting everything up, setting for the next, making you want to see it again next. You know, what's going to happen next week. So kind of captured my attention.
I'm actually going to go to the Jim Cornette ragging on the Teeny Boppers and pulling out that poster and that promo he did before that tag team title match. Jim Cornette was on fire there, so I'm going to give him my Crockett Award for the night. All right, Arn Anderson Award, best promo. That's easy for me. It's going to be the same one I just gave the Crockett Award to. Dr. G, what did you think? Best promo.
The Cornette promo, by far. He was on. I mean, no offense against everybody else who, you know, for the most part, the promo was really good tonight. But Cornette was just, he had me cracking up when I was watching that. So, yeah, you have to go with Cornette for that one.
All right, Scott?
Yeah, I'm going with Cornette, but I'm going with the one where he finds out about the about Betty Lou. I thought he was so good selling that. So I'm going
that
with
whole, that whole that whole Cornette segment throughout that whole episode could count as one.
It's so good. Well, that's what I'm going for. Yes.
All right. The Dusty Broken Leg Award, which is the best angle this month or continuing angle. I am gonna go with Flair. I'm gonna go with TA and with Nikita because we had the short little promo earlier, and then they had the payoff here with the big brawl. So I'm gonna go with TA and Nikita on that. Scott, what did you think?
Same. Like I'm doubling up that with the Crockett Award, but same. I loved every minute of that.
All right, Dr. D.
No, make it 3 for 3. I agree.
All right. Our next award, the Jimmy Valiant Award for worst match, which. It's hard for me because I don't think we had anything terrible, but we do have to pick a worst match. So, Scott, I will go to you.
I'm going with that Midnight Express versus Bass and Cornodal. That's the least the worst rated award I have, worst rated match I have.
Okay, Dr. G?
Yeah, same here. I mean, not that it was awful. It was just that it was my lowest score. So I had that's the one I picked as well.
Ditto for me. So three, all three of us are the same on that one. The Magnum Award, the best match, and again, this match is always think about the I Quit match from Starrcade 85. What was the best match out of? We had 7 matches to choose from on this episode, but Scott, Dr. G, I'll go for you first. What was your favorite match that you watched tonight?
It's the Dusty Garvin versus Flair Arn. I went with 3.5 stars. I really loved that match. I thought it was very well done for a TV match. You know, kept my attention. It was fast paced. The crowd was hot. The announcing was great. So, to me, I thought that was the best of what we saw this week.
All right. I'm going the same. I'm going with that tech team title match from Worldwide. That was money, 8 minutes. Scott, and I assume that's yours too. 4 stars.
Yeah, because I went 4 stars on it. I love that match. I would like to see more. I know that was just an 8-minute match, but I would love to see that again.
All right. This might be a tough one this episode. The LVP, the Wahoo Award. Who is the LVP of the shows we just watched tonight? So I will go to Scott first.
Paul Jones.
Okay, I guess it was easier than I thought. I'm gonna go with Paul. I'm gonna go with Paul Jones and his Great Value Army. So I'm gonna put that included. Dr. G, I sue. There's no one else to choose but that.
Make that 3 for 3.
All right. And last but not least, the Flair Award, the MVP this month. So I will tell you mine first. For me, it's really tough because I'm going to go between the Midnight Express because we had 2 banger tag team title matches, but I got to go with Arn Anderson because the promos that he cut, and we had 3 TV title defenses. On top of that, he was in a freaking banger of a tag team title match. I have to go with Arn as the MVP. I will go to you first, Scott.
I'm going to have to agree, especially for the line. The matches were great, but for the line that he said, I told you I was going to defend this title. This is something you didn't do. Just head and shoulders, because you know what makes a good heel is that they're telling the truth and people don't want to see it or hear it.
Yeah. And I love the fact that we got 3 banger matches with him as well. Like he was just all over the month of February. I mean, we didn't get him on Superstars on a Superstation, but we got him here for sure with these 4 matches tonight. So very happy. Dr. G, what about you? The MVP award.
I have to go with Arn. You know me, I love Arn. I had to go with Arn with this. Now, you know what's funny though? It just shows you how good he is. You know, we talked about him because he was in, you know, all these matches. But we didn't like some of the others. Like we talked about the Express, and maybe because these were the first time we were really talking about those guys in that mm-hmm. length. But he's just such an MVP, and he does so good at what he does that there's no reason not to pick him. Not that these other guys, you know, like the Express. It was tough because Midnight Express, you know, had a great month, Midnight Express / Jim Cornette. But But Arn, you know, defending that title as much as he did, and you know, those two Danny Brown matches were really good.
Yeah.
I mean, we know he's in the tag team match, but the actual matches with Danny Brown, I mean, you know, you on paper you would have been like, oh, you know, Arn's going to win easily, but now he made, you know, two good matches.
Yeah. So I agree. I listen, I can't say enough about Arn Anderson. The fact that you got great promos from him, plus on top of that, four matches, three of them for TV titles. By the way, those three title matches were against other champions. He is just on fire right now, and I look forward to see his continued journey. By the way, I also forgot to mention at the beginning of this podcast who the champions are, because we just had Superstars on a Superstation. I'd be remiss if not mentioning that as of now, the national tag team titles are vacant. We had that whole build up, and I forgot to mention, as of now, they're vacant. So the national tag team titles are no longer here, and spoiler alert, they won't be back, but we'll see what happens, later down the road, because there will be another set of tag team titles that debut. So, but with that, guys, that ends our month of February. So February really jam packed. I think if you look at Starrcade, December, January, February, we've had some four hot months of wrestling, and we're going to continue that as we get into March next month. So looking really forward to getting into the new year and beginning March of 86. So, before we go, I would like to do some plugs. So I will go to Scott first. Anything you would like to plug as we end New Year here on New Year's Eve of 2021.
Yeah. I just want to say Happy New Year to everyone. And, I can be found on Twitter at Scott_Shiflet, and, check out all the pods, you know, here on the Wrestling Feed, the Pop Experience, Jenny Position, and Noso.
All right, Dr. G.
Well, I want to wish everybody a happy and healthy new year. And I could be reached at Dr. G PTV. Listen to the NWA Saturday special for all the new NWA every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock with myself and the Podfather. And I agree with you, Scott. Listen to all the great feeds here, including the PTB Wrestling Network, because everybody does a great job. Everybody does this for free and for fun, and really puts a lot of effort into it. And especially our partner here, Sean, he puts a lot of effort into this show, and I can't thank him enough for all that you do. Happy New Year to you.
Oh, I appreciate it, guys. And, you know, thank you for doing a show with me. It does take a lot of work, but I will tell you, I enjoy every minute of it, because I'm totally watching stuff and kind of putting it together and putting the matches together and the pieces together and piecing each episode together. It's really, I said it on our last show, it's almost like a couple episodes ago, it's almost like a history lesson of like when you put these pods together in a vacuum one day, when all said and done, and we put this show to bed in a few years, we could actually go back and listen, and it'll tell you the whole history of Crockett. And I think we've done a pretty damn good job of it. And it's not just because of me, it's because of all, everybody that's done this show. So, and I'm very happy that we're at 32 episodes. I'm actually stunned that we have stuck it out for 32 episodes, but I don't see us stopping anywhere near time in the future. And hopefully we can get through to 1988 and close it out the right way. But very excited. Happy New Year to everybody. We'll be back in 2022 with March 86. And be safe out there, and we will see you next month.
Say Happy New Year, Happy New Year.